All right, let's open our Bibles again to Psalm 81. The title of the message this evening, God Fills the Open Mouth. I took my title from verse 10, which says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And I looked at that and I thought, what is it to open our mouth wide? Well, in this psalm, I see four ways that God's people open their mouth wide, and God will fill it. The first one is, let's open our mouth wide in praise for who God is. Verse 1, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. Now God's people do praise the Lord because God's given them a nature that praises Him. God has enabled His people to see Him. And if we see the Lord, we see who He is, we get a glimpse of who He is by faith, we will praise Him. But think who God is. You know, we talk about God. Let's remember who God is. Let's strive to make our praise, our speech about the Lord to be beautiful. Just, David says, take a psalm. Just take any of these psalms and talk about the praises of the Lord. David here talks about singing and playing music. He's talking about making the praise of God beautiful. You know, let's not be like a bunch of, you know, those monks that go around that low chant, you know, nobody can understand. Let's make God's praise beautiful. Now, you know, we all can't sing or play an instrument. Some of us can't sing at all or play an instrument at all. But we can use the abilities God's given us to praise Him. You know, let's use our words to express praise of the Lord in the most beautiful way we know how. In the best way we know how. Whatever ability it is God's given us, let's use that. We can do that. But let's be careful. Let's not just use flowery words. You know, you can get so flowery, you don't say anything. You know, let's not just try to always find the right religious jargon or repeat those things over and over again. Let's make our words mean something. Let's just really say something honoring to the Lord. And I tell you, if you really want to open your mouth wide in praise of the Lord, let's live lives that are beautiful. Let's live lives that are lived in a way that they honor the Lord. Let's have the way we live our lives match our speech, match what we say. You know, nothing is more beautiful than a life of faith. Nothing's more beautiful than a life of love. And kindness and generosity and gentleness and patience. The Apostle Paul said there's no law against any of those things. You can just take those things as far as you want. There's no law against them. And David tells us not only is there a law against them, this is God's commandment that His people praise Him. Then let's do that the best way we know how. Let's open our mouth wide in praise of Him. And God says He'll fill it. He'll fill it with more praise. You know, we may think, well, I can't praise the Lord very well. Well, tell you what, open your mouth wide and do what you can to praise the Lord. And God says He'll fill it with more praise. Now, the Lord's so great. I got looking at the greatness of God and all the ways that God's people can praise Him. And I got looking at the notes that I had jotted out and pulled them together. I thought, I'm going to preach for 3 hours. You know, we can't do that. But let me give you just a couple. We can't name all of the ways that God's people can praise Him for who He is. But let me give you two. First, look at Psalm 71. First, we can praise the Lord for giving us life. Psalm 71, verse 5. Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Let my mouth be filled with your praise for giving me life. God's given us physical life. He's given his people spiritual life. Now God did that, didn't he? We didn't give ourselves either of those things. We can't give ourselves physical life or spiritual life. So let's praise the God who gave it. If we have that life, God gave it. Let's open our mouth wide in praise of him for giving us that life. And you know, it's impossible for us to praise the Lord unless he's given us life. That's exactly it. It's impossible. Scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The only thing our mouth can speak is what's in our heart. Well, by nature, that heart that we're born with, by nature, all that heart can speak of is self. It's full of self. It's full of flesh. It's full of sin. If there's any praise coming from that old heart, you know who's getting the praise? Self. But when God gives a new heart, that new heart can only praise the Lord. So if we can praise the Lord, if you have the ability to praise the Lord, then we got to praise the Lord for enabling us to praise him. It just goes on and on and on, doesn't it? We praise the Lord because everything is of him. All right, second, look at Psalm 126. We praise the Lord because he's given us freedom from captivity to the law. Psalm 126, verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. This was so good, we thought it was too good to be true. It must be a dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. As former captives, we ought to be able to make the praise of the Lord beautiful. He filled our mouth with laughter. We ought to be able to make the praise of him that set us free beautiful. So let's open our mouth wide in praise and talk about the beauty of the Lord. Talk about the beauty of his holiness. Let's open our mouth wide and let's praise the beauty of God's wisdom that enabled him to be both just and justified. Let's praise the beauty of his grace to guilty sinners. Twice in these first two verses, he refers to himself, or the first four verses, he refers to himself as the God of Jacob. God saves sinners. God saves no count sinners. Let's praise him. Let's make that his grace beautiful. You know, we speak about God's electing grace. Never speak of it as an ugly thing or as a thing that's not to be desired, as a thing that we're apologizing for. That's God's glory. God chose Jacob. It saved him. Made him rich. Let's speak of that in a way that makes it beautiful. Let's talk about the beauty of God's keeping power. His people will persevere to the end. You know why? He will never leave them nor forsake them. Isn't that beautiful? Let's open our mouth wide in that praise. And the Lord says he'll fill it with more praise. All right, second. First, we open our mouths wide, praising the Lord for who he is. Second, we open our mouths wide, praising the Lord for redemption that's in Christ. Verse 5. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony. When he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Now you know the story of the children of Israel. They went down to Egypt because Joseph was down there. Joseph was second in command during a time of the great famine across all the earth. And they came to Joseph because Joseph could feed and care for his brethren. Otherwise they'd starve to death. And Pharaoh treated Israel well. He gave them the land of Goshen. He treated them well for Joseph's sake. Pharaoh treated them well because he loved and respected Joseph. But Scripture said when Joseph died, there finally arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And that Pharaoh made the Israelites slaves. And they were there in that strange land as slaves for more than 400 years. When you think how long, 400 years. They were there 430 years, most of those years as slaves. And then God heard the cries of his people. He remembered the covenant he had with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And God raised up a deliverer. He sent a deliverer to Egypt to bring his people out of that land of bondage and to bring them to the land that God promised their fathers. A land where they would live in freedom and prosperity. Now, Moses was the deliverer, but Moses wasn't the deliverer. Moses was just a servant. You know, we're going to talk about God's the praise. Let's be thankful for God's servants. But the praise is not for the servant. The praise is reserved for the master, for the savior, for the deliverer. Moses wasn't the one that delivered the people. God did that. He says here, I removed his shoulder from the burden. I delivered his hands from the pot. I am the one that came and set my people free. Now these verses are referring to the day of the Passover, when God himself came and set his people free. And God gave us this picture, the day of the Passover, as a picture of salvation in Christ. There's freedom from bondage through the sacrifice of Christ. Now, on that night of the Passover, the firstborn in every home where there was blood on the door lived. And the firstborn in every home where there was no blood on the door died. Every one of them. And this is what that's teaching us. There's salvation only in the blood of Christ. Only in the blood of Christ, our Passover sacrificed for us. Christ was slain for you. God's justice is not looking for you. God's justice will pass over you because when God sees the blood, this is what he knows. Justice has already been satisfied by the death of Christ, your substitute. The Passover teaches us that salvation is in the blood. It's the blood, it's the blood, it's the blood, it's the blood. It's not our works, it's the blood. God said, when I see what? The blood, I'll pass over you. God didn't say, when I see your faith, I'll pass over you. He didn't say, when I see your good works, I'll pass over you. He didn't say, when I see you following all the rules for the lamb. You know, that you picked out the right lamb, it didn't have a spot or blemish, and you watched it for 14 days, and you made sure it was all just right, and you sacrificed it exactly the right time, and all. It's not when I see you following the rules that I'll pass over you. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When I see the blood shed and the blood applied, I'll pass over you. Because that means justice has been satisfied for your sin. The Passover teaches us that salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all in him. It's in his obedience. He's the perfect lamb. It's in his death. He's the lamb sacrificed. It's in his blood shed and his blood applied. The Lord Jesus Christ saves his people from their sin. Now, there are times in the providence of God, particularly in the Old Testament, something needed to be done and God sent an angel to do it. There are times God sent a prophet. There are times God sent the priest. But when it came time for God to save his people, God didn't send Moses and Elijah. He didn't send the apostles. He didn't send an archangel to save his people. God himself came. In the blessed person of his son, he personally came to save his people from their sin. By his obedience and by his death, by his sacrifice, God himself did that. Look back at Exodus chapter 12. Same thing happened on the night of the Passover. God didn't send some avenging angel, a mysterious angel. God himself came. Exodus 12, verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, not when an angel sees the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And when you tell this story, here's what you tell. Verse 26. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. Who passed over? He did. Who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and he delivered our houses? See, this is something that God himself did on that day of the Passover. And the same thing happens when God saves his people. He himself and the blessed person of his Son came to save his people by his sacrifice, by his blood applied. And after that picture of the Passover, when God passed through the land that night, you know what the Egyptians did? They were never for letting the children of Israel go. They weren't letting their free labor go. After that night, they thrust Israel out. They told them, don't wait till morning, get out right now, and don't you come back. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of the law saying, get out. You've got to go free if Christ died for you. Now, there's no greater gift God can give the Son of Adam than God saving our souls through the sacrifice of his precious Son. Then let's praise God for it. Let's open our mouth wide and not take any credit for it whatsoever. You know, God's blessed this congregation for years and years and years and years. Brother Henry is our pastor for more than 50 years. And here we've been here all these years. Janet was talking to a woman recently who's come out of false religion, and she had some questions, and Janet answered them. And she said, if you really want to find out the answer to something, she said, go to Sermon Audio and listen to Henry Mahan. She said, have you ever heard him preach? And Janet said, I know Brother Henry real well. He's my pastor for 38 years. And that woman, her mouth just hung open. And she said, I cannot imagine such a life. God has blessed this congregation beyond measure. Let's be sure we don't take any credit for it. God hadn't blessed us because we've done something right. Somebody else did something wrong. No, sir. It's just because he will. It's because of his goodness. Because of his mercy. Because of his grace. Then let's open our mouth wide and praise him for his grace that would redeem and save and keep such a people as we are. We can't take any credit for this. The only thing you and I ever contributed to this matter of salvation is our need of a Savior. We contributed our sin, which required a Savior to come and put it away. That's exactly what Christ did. He came and accomplished this work of redemption for his people. He gave himself a sacrifice that would put away the sin of his people. Then let's open our mouth wide in praise. And I know it'll always be insufficient. I know it will be. But let's open it wide anyway and praise him with what we got. And God said he'll fill it with more. Open your mouth wide in praise and he'll fill it. Right, here's the third thing. Let's open our mouths wide in time of trial and trouble. Verse 7, Psalm 81. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Now, when we're in trouble, we find ourselves in trial. Let's not try to find a way out of it, our own selves. And then, if we can't find our way out of it, then we go to the Lord in prayer. Let's call upon the Lord first. That's the first thing we do. Call upon the Lord. But let's not call upon the Lord and then run out and see if we can find a way out of it. Then, take your burden. The songwriter said, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it in his hands to do. Let's call on the Lord and then wait on Him to deliver us. God says here, you called in the time of trouble, and I delivered thee. Then let's call. Let's call and let's keep calling. Let's open our mouth wide and let's confess our need of Him. Lord, we need You. Lord, help us. Lord, save us. Let's open our mouth wide in submission. This is God's will. This is God's will for me. And it's right. It's best. And I want to be thankful. Lord, make me thankful. This is best. You know, the Lord said, you have not because you ask not. Then let's open our mouth wide. Let's lay our heart out open before the Lord and not hold anything back. Just confess, freely confess our need of Him, our dependence upon Him. God says here, you called and I answered you in the secret place, in the heart. Now God, this is just my experience. I take this for what it's worth. In a time of trouble, I've not found a time where we call upon the Lord and He immediately removes the problem. Have you? I've not found a place like that. But God will answer in a secret place, in the heart. He speaks to the heart of His people. He comforts the heart of His people. In Psalm 51, we read to open the service, David said, make me to know wisdom in the hidden area. Speak to me in the heart. Now, when God does that, the situation from the outside is not going to look any different. The trial is just the same as it ever was. The fire is burning just as hot as it ever was. But our reaction to it is going to change. God spoke to the heart in the secret place. And He mentions specifically the waters of Meribah. Now, what is that all about? Well, turn back to Exodus 17. The waters of Meribah teach us where to look in time of trial and who to trust in time of trial. Exodus 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock. And there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Now, I guess it's easy for us to be hard on the children of Israel at that time, but you imagine how bad this situation looked to them. They wandered out into the middle of the desert, and there's no water in sight. Apparently there was a rock nearby, but there's no water in sight, and they're thirsty. They're going to die of dehydration if they don't get some water to drink. Now, the lesson to you and me is this. The situation we find ourselves in is going to be bad. But don't look at how bad the situation is. Look to Christ. Trust Christ. He's the smitten rock. Don't trust our own abilities to find a way out of this problem. Look to Christ. He's the smitten rock. Now, it might sound like religious jargon to say, look to Christ. But brother, Christ is enough. In every situation, Christ is enough. No matter the trial. There may be a lot of things this flesh has got to have. But I tell you one thing the believer's got to have. I must have Christ or else I die. Then look to Christ. If you look to Him, you'll find comfort for your soul. You'll find hope. You'll find strength. You'll find peace. Open your mouth wide in need of Christ and He'll fill it with water from the rock. Christ is that rock. He was smitten for His people. When He was smitten, outflowed life-giving water. Blood to justify, water to sanctify. Open your mouth wide in need of Him. He'll fill it with water from the rock. And I'll show you in a minute, that's going to be mighty sweet tasting water. But read on, verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Now, this was a strong, well-trained army that came up to attack Israel. And that's going to happen to you and me too. And we're going to be out of our league. But don't look how strong the enemy is. Look to Christ. He's our banner. Look to Christ lifted up. Look to Christ lifted up on the cross. You'll find comfort for your soul. Because you look to Christ lifted up on the cross, you'll find the forgiveness of sin. That's how God forgives sin. That's how God puts my sin away through the sacrifice of Christ. If you want comfort for your soul, look to Him lifted up. In time of trouble and trial, you feel like everything's so dark. And you feel like, I can't leave the house. I can't go out among people. That's just the worst thing I can imagine. Remember what the writer to the Hebrews said. Let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You'd be amazed how often you come to the worship service, preaching service, the preaching of Christ. You'd be amazed how often that comforts your soul. That's how God feeds and comforts and strengthens His people. Open your mouth wide in need of Christ, and He'll fill it. He'll fill it with exactly what you need. And you know, the reason the Lord sends trials our way is to increase our faith in Him, isn't it? Well, that brings me to the fourth thing. Let's open our mouths wide in faith in Christ. Back in our text, Psalm 81, verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Now, when I first read this, the picture that came to my mind was baby birds in a nest. You know those baby birds are first born? They just sit there. Their mouth is open, their eyes closed, and their mouth open. And they just don't close. I mean, they're just waiting. You know why they do that? They're waiting. You know what they know is going to happen? They know this. Mama's going to come fill that open mouth. They know it. And Mama gets there with food. And that, you know what that baby knows? It's going to be good food. It's going to be exactly what I need. That baby never says, let me see what you got there. Where'd you get that? What's the ingredients for that? Is that something I like? The baby bird never asks that. They just, and they eat whatever Mama puts in their mouth. Because they know she's giving them what's best for them. They know it's going to be enough for them to grow on. The baby bird doesn't try to help mama out, do they? They just sit there and wait for mama to come fill that open mouth. You know what that is? That's childlike faith. God, give me faith like that. Childlike faith in Christ. Just stay still with a wide open mouth waiting for Christ to come fill it. Knowing He's going to come fill it with good food. He's going to fill it with Himself. Childlike faith, trust that Christ will be enough. Just sits there with an open mouth, trusting He's going to be all I need. He's all I need to be saved. He's all I need to grow in grace. He's all I need to be strengthened. He's all I need to be comforted. Well, then let's open our mouths wide in faith, trusting that God will fill it, and He will. Look at Psalm 103. This is what God does for those with that wide open mouth of faith. Psalm 103, verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth? Who satisfieth thy wide open mouth with good things? So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, what are the good things that the Lord uses to fill the wide open mouth of His people? Verse 3. He fills it with forgiveness. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. God fills the mouth of His people with the forgiveness of sins. He fills the mouth of His people with the healing of all of our sin sicknesses. He fills it with Christ. Christ came, He took the sin of His people into His own body on the tree. He took our wounds, our bruises, our putrefying sores, and sacrificed Himself, and by His stripes were healed. He took the sin of His people away from them. And they've got an open mouth. You know what He filled it with? His righteousness. He made them the righteousness of God in Him. There's nothing better than that. In verse 4, He filled them with redemption. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Christ redeemed His people from destruction by being crucified in our place. And then He fills their open mouth. He just covers them with His love, His loving kindness, and His tender mercy. He fills them with the best things. Right in the back in our text, verse 15, Psalm 81. This is what He would feed everyone who has this open mouth of faith. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat. And with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. The Lord fills that hungry, wide-open mouth with the finest of wheat, with Christ, the bread of life. He fills that hungry, wide-open mouth with sweet things. My grandmother, my mother's mother, taught me this lesson real well, and I've never unlearned it. That's why I have my mind. A meal is never finished until I got something sweet. God has something sweet for His people. He fills their mouth with His mercy, with His grace, with His righteousness, with His peace. He fills them with the sweetness of the sacrifice of Christ. That's what the honey out of the rock refers to. Faith in Christ opens its mouth wide and confesses Christ is the only Savior. He's the only God. There's no idol there. God's people, there's no idol. God-given faith is not going to waste its time with man's false religion, with the religion of the flesh and will worship. Look at Matthew chapter 8. I want to show you two examples of this. God-given faith opens its mouth wide and confesses complete trust in Christ alone. And there's two wonderful examples of this I want us to look at quickly. Matthew 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion, beseeching Him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that Thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I know that. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me,
And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed. As you've opened your mouth wide in faith, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed that very hour. He opened his mouth wide in faith. Lord, I know if you say it, it'll be done. And the Lord filled it, didn't he? Now look at John chapter 4. John 4, verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. He didn't know what to say about this, except you see signs and wonders you will not believe. All he knew to do is open his mouth wide in faith and confess faith in Christ. If you come, my son will be healed. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken. He didn't have to go see a miracle to believe. He believed the word Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And you know how we know for sure this man believed the word that was spoken to him? And his son is at the point of death. He didn't go straight home and check it out to see what the Lord told him was true. He didn't go to the next day. Look, read on, verse 51. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday. That man went on his way, did some business, spent the night, had a nice stay, went home the next day. Yesterday, they said, the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in the which Jesus had said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This man opened his mouth wide in faith, and God filled it. He asked for physical healing, and the Lord filled it. He and his whole house were made spiritually holy. The Lord filled him. Now, back to our text. We've got to look at the rest of these verses before we can quit. This is a precious promise from our Lord. Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. But we have a serious warning from the Lord too. If you insist on your own way, God will give you that too. Verse 11. But my people would not hearken to my voice. And Israel would none of me. So I gave them up under their own heart's lust. I gave them exactly what their hearts lusted after. And they walked in their own counsels, in their own way. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. And Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. Now that's a sobering warning, isn't it? We won't have God's way. We won't open our mouth wide in faith to receive what he would give us. Then God will give us our own way. We'll walk after our own counsels, walk after our own way, the way we think is right, which will always be the way of death. Now I want you to notice something here. The description of the people who won't listen to God. Verse 15 calls them the haters of the Lord. Now faith has to do with submission to God. Faith, saving faith, submits to the righteousness of God. That means we quit going about to establish our own righteousness and we submit to the righteousness of Christ. The only righteousness I'll have is Christ alone. The Apostle Paul said the problem with his unsaved, his lost brethren, was this. It's not that they didn't know the right ceremony, the right form of religion. It's not that they didn't have the word. It's they would not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. And anyone who won't submit themselves to the righteousness of God and quit trying to have some of their own righteousness added in the mix, that person hates God. They hate God. It's not that they don't understand. They hate God. It's not that they don't understand how a sinner is made righteous. They hate God. They hate God's way. It's not that they see another way, and that way works too. You know, we're all going to go a different direction and wind up in the same place. No, sir. They hate God. Salvation is all Christ or no Christ at all. Salvation is all of faith or it's all of works. No in between. Then our prayer is this. It's my prayer. Lord, open my mouth wide in praise. Open my mouth wide in praise for the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Open my mouth wide in times of trial. Not to gripe and complain, but to open my mouth wide to confess my need of Christ. And open my mouth wide in faith. Confessing that Christ is all, so you can fill it. So you can fill it with Christ. God, help us to open our mouths wide. All right, let's bow together. Our Father, we are humbled at the awesomeness of your word. What glorious instruction you condescend to give your people to open our mouth wide, and you'll fill it. What a precious promise. Father, we pray you'd fill us with your salvation. You'd fill us with Christ. You'd fill our open, hungry mouth with righteousness. As the heart pants after the water brook, so our heart pants after thee, O our God. Lord, fill us with Christ. Fill us with your gospel. Enable us to see more of the Lord Jesus Christ. Enable us to believe Him and to believe Him more. To trust Him and to trust Him more fully. Father, use your word to bring much glory to your name. Use your word to save your people. To fill that open, hungry mouth. To comfort and edify your people, we pray. It's in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray and give thanks. Amen.